Welcome to the deep dive. We take your sources, plunge right in, and pull out the knowledge you really need.
That's the plan.
Today, we're tackling a big one, a question that's, well, it's been on a lot of minds lately when it comes to learning. Is online actually better? Or is the traditional classroom still king? And what about that, mix in between?
Yeah, the blended approach. We've got quite a stack of material here today, some deep academic literature reviews.
Right.
A major meta-analysis, which is super interesting, pulls together findings from dozens of studies.
Okay.
And crucially, insights straight from the students, the people who've actually lived through these different ways of learning.
That's vital. So our mission today really is to cut through all the noise, right? Bypass the assumptions
Yes.
and figure out what actually moves the needle, what makes a difference in learning outcomes, and maybe just as importantly, the experience itself.
Yeah, we want to equip you with the real story. So whether you're, making decisions about your own education, maybe your kids.
Or even training at work, yeah.
Or training your team at work. It's all relevant.
And just a heads up, get ready for maybe a few findings that might challenge what you think you know about where and how the most effective learning happens.
Definitely some surprises in there.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Before we, declare a winner or loser, what exactly are we comparing here? What do the sources mean by these different environments?
Good place to start.
Yeah.
So our sources basically look at three main ways. First, you've got the traditional classroom.
Right. Face-to-face.
Face-to-face, instructor and students, physically together, structured interaction. The setup most of us probably grew up with.
The classic. Yeah. Got it.
Then you have online learning. This is where instruction happens, well, entirely or mostly over the internet.
Okay.
And the big meta-analysis we're looking at from SRI International makes a really key distinction here. It talks about purely online.
Purely online. So what does that mean exactly?
That means all the instruction for the stuff you're assessed on, it's delivered online. No required in-person meetings for that course content.
Gotcha. So 100% remote for that particular class or subject.
Exactly. And then the third category is blended learning.
The hybrid model.
A hybrid, yeah. It combines face-to-face and online experiences. The SRI study specifically defined it as cases where students learned 25% or more of the assessed content online, but not the whole thing.
Okay, so a significant chunk online, but not everything.
Right. Think of it like maybe you meet in person for some sessions, do others online. Or maybe you use online tools a lot to supplement in-person classes.
Like a flipped classroom kind of thing. Watch lectures at home, do activities in class.
Exactly like that. That's a perfect example of blended learning.
Okay, so we have traditional, purely online, and blended as the mix. So what did this massive study find? This meta-analysis pulling together, what was it, 45 studies?
45 studies, yeah, covering 50 different comparisons. It's pretty comprehensive.
So what happened when they stacked these methods up against each other?
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, like you said. The headline finding, right?
Yeah.
Averaged across all those studies.
Yeah.
Was that students in the online learning conditions actually performed modestly better than those getting traditional face-to-face instruction.
Wait, hold on. Did you say better? Online better than traditional? On average?
Modestly better, yes.
Yeah.
On average.
Wow. Okay, that kind of flies in the face of the usual narrative, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That online is, somehow second best or less effective.
It definitely challenges that common assumption.
Right.
But, and this is a huge but, here's the crucial twist. When they dug deeper into those results,
sure.
The meta-analysis found that the significant performance advantage was specifically for blended learning compared to the traditional face-to-face.
Ah, okay, so not all online conditions were better. It was the blended one.
Precisely. The purely online learning environments, when compared to traditional classrooms, performed, well, about the same on average.
So no significant difference there.
Not significantly better or worse in terms of learning outcomes, based on this meta-analysis.
Okay, that's a really critical distinction. So it's not just online that has the average edge. It's the mix, the blended approach. Purely online is just sort of equivalent on average.
That seems to be the takeaway from this large body of research. And naturally, the researchers wanted to know why. Why did blended seem to have this advantage?
Right. What was special about the blended studies?
Well, they found that the studies showing better results for blended learning weren't just mixing online and in person. They also tended to include other things.
Like what?
Like additional learning time compared to the traditional courses they were compared against.
Okay, more time on task.
More time, yeah. And they often offered more instructional resources.
Right.
And this is key. They deliberately built in elements that actively encouraged interaction. among students with the instructor.
Okay. This feels like the core insight right here. It suggests that maybe it wasn't just the act of blending itself, but maybe the blended courses they studied were just, well, better designed or provided more learning opportunities overall.
Precisely. You've hit the nail on the head. It's likely less about the medium itself, you know, online versus in person,
yeah,
and more about the intentional design of that learning experience. Mm-hmm. The study authors themselves suggest these extra factors, the added time, the extra resources, the focus on interaction. They could be the real drivers behind those better results in the blended settings.
Which has huge implications, right, for anyone designing a course or choosing one.
Absolutely. The big implication is, well, it strongly suggests that just taking an old traditional course and, you know, dumping it online isn't the answer.
Right, just digitizing lecture notes isn't enough.
Not likely to get you those better outcomes, no. The findings really support the idea of redesigning instruction, using online tools and flexibility to add valuable learning opportunities, add resources, while maybe still keeping some of that crucial face-to-face interaction. It's about enhancing the experience, not just transferring it to a screen.
That makes so much sense, using the tools to create something richer, potentially. Did the meta-analysis look at anything else that influenced how well these online or blended methods worked? Other factors?
Yeah. They did. They looked at the instructional approach, pedagogy.
How things were taught online.
Exactly. And they found that approaches like collaborative online instruction, getting students to work together online.
Okay.
Or what they called expository online instruction, which you could think of as like well-structured online presentations or lectures. Those were associated with significantly positive outcomes.
Right. So structure and collaboration seem good online?
They did in this analysis, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, independent online learning, where students are pretty much left to work through material on their own.
Just clicking through modules solo?
Kinda, yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't associated with the same significant positive effect on average.
Okay, so how the online part is structured matters a lot. Working together or having clear online content seems key, but just sending students off alone? Maybe not as effective on average.
That's what this suggests. They also looked at student characteristics. Things like, you know, K-12 versus college students or the subject area.
Did that make a difference?
Not really. Not significantly. Online learning seemed broadly applicable across those different groups and topics, which is interesting.
Huh.
But one thing that almost reached statistical significance was the amount of time students spent actively engaged. Time on task.
Ah. So effort still counts.
It seems like it. The more time online learners actually spent on task, the better the effects tended to be. Focus time still matters, wherever you are.
Fascinating. Okay, so the big picture emerging is blended learning shows real promise, potentially because it's often designed with more resources and interaction. Purely online can be equivalent to traditional, but maybe doesn't have that same average boost.
Right.
And the real story seems less about the label online or traditional and much more about the design and how people are actually asked to engage the material and each other.
That's the crux of it, I think.
So let's drill down on that how. What specific elements do our other sources, like that literature review, highlight as being really essential for making distance or online learning work well?
Well, one of the clearest themes that jumps out, especially from the Global Scientific Journal Review, is the absolutely central role of the teacher.
The teacher.
Yeah.
Still key, even when they're not physically in the room.
Absolutely. Maybe even more critical in some ways. The research really emphasizes this. For distance learning to succeed, the teacher needs a specific set of skills and, well, characteristics.
Like what kind of characteristics?
Well, the review mentions things you'd expect, like being compassionate, self-assured.
Yeah.
But also, really importantly, being proficient and comfortable with the technology.
Right, the tech savviness.
Yeah, and being creative in how they actually use different media. Not just using it, but using it well.
So it's a mix of good teaching fundamentals and digital fluency.
Precisely. Effective distance teachers, according to this review, are skilled in instructional design. Like, how do you structure this learning experience effectively online? And in the delivery, of course, they prepare meticulously. They know how to adapt traditional teaching strategies for this different space.
Takes real effort and skill.
It does. And crucially, they need adequate training on the technology they're expected to use. You can't just hand someone new tools without support.
Makes sense.
There was even one perspective highlighted in that review, suggesting some teachers felt distance learning could be more effective. Potentially.
More effective. How?
If it allowed for a teaching process that felt more, quote, enriched and challenging than the traditional mode, if it pushed them to innovate.
That's really interesting. So seeing online not just as a substitute, but as a chance to maybe do things differently, maybe even better if designed right.
Exactly. It highlights the potential.
Okay, so the teacher is vital. What about the students? What's their role in making distance learning work from their end?
Oh, the learner is definitely not passive here. They're very much an active participant. For distance learning to really click, students need a sense of ownership over their goals.
Okay, taking responsibility.
Yeah, and the willingness and, frankly, the capability to really engage with the material that's delivered online. Our sources also mention that, you know, simply having a preference for that mode of learning can play a role.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like learning this way?
Mm-hmm.
And distance learning is often suggested, maybe ideally suited, for learners who already have a good degree of focus and self-control. It can help build self-reliance.
Right. You need that internal drive.
You do.
Yeah.
And other factors come into play, too. Things the research looks at, like a student's confidence with technology.
Their tech self-efficacy.
That's the term, yeah.
Yeah.
The personality type can matter. And just their overall level of engagement. All these things influence success.
So if you're thinking about online learning for yourself, knowing your own style, your strengths, your level of self-discipline, that's probably really important groundwork.
Absolutely. Self-awareness is key.
And you mentioned engagement and interaction earlier, linking it to blended learning success in the meta-analysis. How critical is interaction specifically in any online setting, according to the literature?
Oh, it's huge. The literature review flat out calls interaction one of the most relevant factors for evaluating online learning quality and effectiveness.
Wow, most relevant.
Yeah, it's seen as a direct reflection of how good the course actually is. And they break it down, you know, there's learner-learner interaction.
Students talking to each other.
Right. Learner-instructor interaction.
Student-to-teacher.
And learner-content interaction.
Mm-hmm.
How you engage with the material itself.
What's really interesting is that the learner-instructor interaction was found to be the single best predictor of student satisfaction.
Feeling connected to the teacher matters a lot for how happy you are with the course.
It seems so. And while, yeah, personality can affect how comfortable people are interacting online, the overall message is that social interaction isn't just some, like, nice add-on.
It's not fluff.
No, it's highlighted as a central variable. It's core to getting the best learning results online.
That ties back so clearly to that meta-analysis finding, right? The successful blended courses were the ones that intentionally encouraged interaction. Exactly. It reinforces that point beautifully.
It really feels like facilitating genuine connection, genuine discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just non-negotiable, isn't it? Whether you're in person or online.
Seems absolutely critical based on this research.
Yeah.
And of course, holding all this together is the technology.
Right. The tool that makes it all possible in the first place.
It is the essential delivery mechanism. Yeah.
Yeah.
But our sources are really clear on this point. The effectiveness isn't measured by the tech itself.
It's not about having the fanciest platform.
No. It's measured by the instructional result. Did the students actually learn? That's the bottom line. The focus always needs to be on the pedagogical needs.
Meaning,
what do the learners actually need to do to learn this material? What does the content itself require? You choose the tech to serve those needs, not the other way around.
Don't get distracted by the shiny new tools.
Exactly. I mean, tools like Google Classroom, WhatsApp, Zoom,
mm-hmm.
they get mentioned as essential tools for implementing strategies.
Sure, practical necessities.
But they're means to an end. Using these tools, maybe leveraging things like Web 2.0 tech for collaboration that can enhance learning. But it's the instructional design behind it that dictates whether that potential is actually realized.
Got it. So technology is powerful, definitely a supportive character, but it's not the star of the show.
Well put.
The human elements, the teacher skill, the learner's approach, the interaction that's fostered, those seem to be the real drivers.
That's what the research consistently points to.
Okay, we've heard from the big meta-analysis, the academic reviews, but what does this all actually look like, feel like from the student's perspective, the ones actually navigating these online classes?
Yeah, that student voice is incredibly valuable. And we have some insights from a study that specifically gathered opinions from high school students about their distance learning experience.
Okay, what did they say? What were the biggest upsides for them?
Flexibility was huge, a major theme.
No surprise there.
Right. Students really, really appreciated not being locked into a rigid schedule. It let them balance school with other things.
Like a job or family stuff?
Exactly. A part-time job, family responsibilities, or even just managing their own energy levels better by choosing when they learned and where.
That flexibility is often positioned as the main selling point for online, isn't it?
It certainly is a big one. They also highlighted reduced costs.
Ah, saving money.
Yeah, saving money on commuting gas, parking fees, bus fare. That was a tangible benefit they mentioned.
Makes sense.
And related to that, just saving time. Eliminating that commute time was another advantage that came up.
Practical benefits.
Very practical. And beyond those, a decent chunk of students, about 40%, mentioned things like building self-discipline and motivation as a plus.
Interesting, seeing it as a way to grow those skills.
Yeah. And others mentioned feeling a greater sense of freedom. And interestingly, about 12% even listed social interaction as an advantage.
Wait, social interaction as an advantage of distance learning? How so?
Yeah, it was a smaller group, but perhaps they found new ways to connect digitally that worked well for them, maybe different from in-person dynamics.
Okay, so mainly practical benefits, flexibility, cost, time, but also some perceived benefits around self-discipline, and for a few, even social connection. What about the flip side? What were the struggles, the disadvantages they reported?
Okay, the number one most frequently cited disadvantage by a pretty wide margin.
Let me guess. Social isolation.
You got it.
Yeah.
Lack of social interaction.
Yeah.
This really echoes what the academic literature flagged as being so central.
So even if a few found ways to connect, for the majority in this particular study, that absence of regular in-person social connection was a big negative.
It was definitely the dominant theme on the downside. The second most common disadvantage they mentioned was related to health
I think
issues.
health issues, like.
Things like eye strain from looking at screens all day, headaches, and physical discomfort, neck pain, back pain from maybe not having a great ergonomic setup at home.
Yeah, the Zoom fatigue effect. Many of us can probably relate after the past few years.
Absolutely. Very relatable. Other really significant obstacles they reported. Technical problems.
Ah, the tech woes.
Big time. Things like poor internet connection.
Yeah.
That was a major frustration for, get this, 64% of the students in the study.
Wow, almost two-thirds struggling with basic connectivity. That's huge.
It's a massive barrier. And right behind that, difficulty concentrating. That was reported by 60%.
Over half finding it hard to focus. Again, huge numbers.
They really are. Other challenges that came up included lack of motivation, about a third mentioned that, and being easily distracted, which, makes sense learning from home.
Distractions are everywhere at home.
Exactly.
Okay.
Students also mentioned finding it harder to stay in direct contact with their instructors compared to a traditional classroom.
Like harder to ask a quick question.
Yeah, feeling like emails might not get as prompt a response as just catching the teacher before or after class, that feeling of accessibility. And of course, that reliance on technology meant that dealing with, say, complicated software or having device problems, that could really stop their learning progress dead in its tracks. Poor internet is just incredibly frustrating when everything depends on it.
So the student experience really paints a picture, doesn't it? It highlights those practical advantages of online, the flexibility, the potential savings,
Definitely, yeah.
but it also throws these significant human and technical challenges into sharp relief. Isolation, problems with focus, the frustration of technology not working.
Yeah, those are very real hurdles.
Which brings us back nicely to that idea of the human factor you mentioned earlier, and particularly this concept of engagement.
It does, yeah. There's a great definition of authentic student engagement from an Oregon.gov source we looked at. And it feels really relevant here.
What's their take on it?
They define it as not just, showing up or ticking boxes. It's more about ongoing, collaborative, and meaningful involvement. And it's where students feel valued, feel connected to the learning, to their peers, to the environment.
Fostering that sense of belonging and maybe empowerment.
Exactly. Belonging and empowerment.
And why is that level of engagement so vital? Why does it matter so much?
Well, the research consistently links higher levels of student engagement to better academic outcomes. We're talking higher grades, better attendance, things like that.
Makes sense. More invested, better results.
Right. But it's not just good for students. It also has positive effects for the educators. It contributes to higher job satisfaction for them, too. When students are genuinely switched on, everybody wins.
So what does this authentic engagement actually look like? Can we break it down?
Yeah. The source talks about three main dimensions. First, there's behavioral engagement.
Okay, what you can see.
Yeah, the visible stuff. Participating in discussions, doing the assignments, showing up, following the rules.
Got it.
Then there's social-emotional engagement. This is about the feelings, feeling connected, feeling like you belong, feeling safe and valued within that learning community.
the relationship piece.
Very much so. And finally, there's cognitive engagement.
The thinking part.
The mental investment, yeah. Being curious, asking questions, really wrestling with the ideas, going beyond the surface level.
Okay, behavioral, social, emotional, cognitive. I can immediately see how the challenges students reported with online learning, like lack of social interaction, difficulty concentrating, how those directly hit these engagement areas.
Precisely. Yeah. It maps directly. That lack of social interaction students felt. Yeah. That's a direct hit to the social-emotional engagement.
Yeah.
It's hard to feel connected when you feel isolated.
Right.
And the difficulty concentrating, being easily distracted, that undermines cognitive engagement. It's tough to make that deep mental investment if your focus is constantly fragmented or pulled away.
So this really reinforces the idea that effective online course design can't just be about delivering content clearly.
Absolutely not.
It has to actively, intentionally work to foster all three dimensions of engagement, building that community feel, supporting focus, sparking curiosity, even when everyone's physically separate.
That's the challenge and the goal. Mm-hmm. Strategies that really promote student voice, that makes learning genuinely student-centered, that focus on building strong relationships.
Yeah.
Those aren't just nice-to-haves. They seem foundational. They're crucial levers for driving that engagement, whether you're in a physical classroom, fully online, or somewhere in between.
Okay, let's try and synthesize all of this then. Pull it together. What's the big picture message?
Well, if we look at the evidence overall, it strongly suggests that blended learning environments, on average, seem to hold the most promise for better outcomes compared to either traditional only or purely online.
Right, the blended advantage.
And the likely reason seems to be that they often manage to combine the best of both worlds, the flexibility and resource potential of online, with the crucial interaction and structure of face-to-face. Plus, as we saw, they often just incorporated more resources and time overall.
More stuff built in.
Yeah. Purely online can be equivalent in outcomes to traditional, based on that meta-analysis, but it doesn't show that same consistent average boost.
Got it. And the absolute key takeaway, the thing that overrides everything else.
It really seems to be that the how is dramatically more important than the what.
The medium isn't the message, essentially.
Exactly. The medium online, blended, traditional, it's just the container. What really matters is what you put inside it.
Which is?
The quality of the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The intentional design of the learning experience. Really putting the learner's needs and characteristics front and center.
Yeah.
Actively, deliberately fostering interaction between students and with the instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And relentlessly promoting that authentic student engagement we talked about, behavioral, social, emotional, and cognitive. Those seem to be the core drivers of success in any learning environment.
So while online learning offers these incredible advantages in terms of flexibility and access, which are huge,
undeniably important,
we absolutely have to acknowledge and then actively work to overcome those very real human challenges that students face. Mm-hmm. The isolation, the distraction, the tech barriers.
Yeah, they aren't minor side issues. Mm-hmm. They are central to the learning experience itself and need to be addressed head on in the design. Designing specifically for connection and for cognitive focus within that digital space seems key.
This has been a really, really insightful deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground, from big studies to student experiences.
Definitely a lot to think about.
So let's leave our listeners with this final thought. Given everything we've discussed, that blending modalities effectively, focusing intently on instructional design, on interaction, on engagement, that these seem to be the key drivers for better learning outcomes,
mm-hmm.
How might you, listening right now, actively seek out or maybe even create these conditions in your own learning journey? Whether you find yourself fully online next semester, back in a traditional classroom, or in some kind of hybrid situation, what elements do you personally need to thrive, and how can you proactively build those into your experience?
That's a powerful question to reflect on as you navigate your own path.
It is indeed. A huge thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We'll be back soon with another exploration.